Okay. Some of you, I don't know, some of you maybe haven't been here, but especially you young people, as you have been putting this, filling in some of my thoughts for this paper. Excuse me. This morning, well, let's just a little quick review as I pondered what it takes to build biblical convictions for practical everyday living. And I thought through lots of things, and as I mentioned, I'm sure I didn't get them. I know I didn't get them all, because I even have other thoughts, but that I won't say. And I'm sure maybe there's some better ones, but these are some of my thoughts. And we looked at our view of God, the fear of God, and the goodness of God, our connection with God, understanding ourselves, and this morning, you could put in there our connection with others. I think we need to remember that, well, I guess the way I've been saying it the past few years is, Mickey, you're not quite as spiritual as you think you are. You're just not. And I don't mean that in a discouraging way, because we'll talk about a principle I think that is very helpful for us as we're seeking to build biblical convictions for practical everyday living. And so these principles, just like the one we talked about yesterday, we have the carnal man and the spiritual man. It can be a discouraging principle or it can be an exciting principle depending on which way you look at it. This principle can be discouraging or exciting also. That you can maybe take it the discouraging way and say, oh, so I'm not very spiritual. Or you can say, you know what? I'm not as spiritual as I think I am. I need help. And God has placed help for me. God knew I'm not as spiritual as I think I was. Remember those verses, let not any man think of himself more highly than he ought to think or something. I don't know if any of you ever do that, but I think I do that sometimes. And I think of myself more highly than I ought to think. Not only, you can take that in two ways, not only in thinking of myself more highly than my brother, but even just thinking of myself, oh, Mick, you can handle that. You can handle it. Brother Levi, the idea you mentioned of sometimes, oh, we can just look at part of the page and not the other part of the page, when we know that there is a part of the page that shouldn't be looked at, and we think, and he said, don't do it. I agree. Don't do it. We're not quite as spiritual as we think we are. We need help. And God said, I have help for you. I've created a way for you to be helped. So, as we're building biblical convictions, let's be careful, and I say this to myself, lest I think, yeah, I'm hearing from God and I'll build biblical convictions. And we kind of get this individualistic mindset. As much as Americans think and push independence and individualism, they're not as individualistic and independent as they think. Do you know what they're doing? They're just copying the next fella and being individualistic. But they're just copying the one beside them and being independent. They're actually not independent. They're just copying the people around them. People who study history, you see the change and rise and fall of mindsets and worldviews. And in general, there's differing worldviews, but in general, there's a movement in a people. That's because we influence each other. That's because we're not as independent as we sometimes think we are. And so as we ponder this, young people, you, especially as I've been aiming at you here this week, as you want to build biblical convictions, but it applies to all of us, one huge key is who is around us. Who have we saturated ourselves with? And in this age and society, our convictions will be built, not in just this age and society, as humans, our convictions will be built largely influenced by our atmosphere, and who's around us, and who we feed off of, and who feeds off of us. That's the concept. So I want to look at, the title this morning is Influence and Following Man. All right? So in your little boxes on this side, you can put influence. And the next one is following man. I've been trying to share two principles that kind of work together each day. This morning is influence. And I'm sorry, I wrote two different things. If you haven't written it, I'm going to have you change it. It's influence and fellowship. I know that may not be a real word, but I make up words. I'm known to do that. Forgive me. Influence and fellowship. So, open your Bibles as a beginning to Malachi. And I want us to look at a verse that we all know well, but look at it just a little bit differently here this morning. Malachi chapter 4, the last book of the Old Testament. You find Matthew and go just right before it. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6. You know this. Jump back to verse 5. I like to read the verse before very often. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful. That doesn't mean terrible. It means full of dread. Awesome. Full of awe. Dreadful day of the Lord. Verse 6, the verse we want. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. I should have made this comment before we started. Remember, the heart of God didn't change from Old Testament to New Testament. God was the same. Sure, Christ came and that brought a whole new way of life to us. That brought a whole new way of resurrection life, Brother John. But God's heart didn't change. So when we see God saying what he'll do in this New Testament era, that's been his heart ever since the beginning. So he's not changing here, but he's saying, I will turn, what I really want to see happen, is the hearts of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers. Why? Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. There are lots of verses that talk about God wants to turn our hearts toward him. And his heart is toward us. But here's a verse, and there's lots of them, that says he wants to turn hearts of fathers to children and children to fathers. And if it doesn't happen, there's terrible repercussions. So this verse, I have heard many times, and probably many of you have, as a home teaching verse, teaching on the home. And I think it's excellent for that. Fathers, we must turn our hearts toward our children. Care about them, think about them, put our lives around them, put our lives into them, make our life revolve around what is good and healthy for them. Children, I'm a child too, so that actually includes all of us also. Children, brothers, sisters, young people, and Mickey, you better turn your heart to your father. We usually hear the one, fathers turn their hearts to the children, but this is just as strong. Children, turn your heart toward your father if you don't want to curse. You better do it. That's what God's saying here. If you don't turn your heart toward your fathers, there will be a curse settling down upon us. And I'm a child, and each of you are children. Do you see that principle? God says, yes, I want you to follow me. Yes, I want you to live for me. But at the very end of the Old Testament, he holds up a principle and he says, people need people. Is that what he says? People need people. You fathers, you better focus on your children and care deeply about them. You children, you better look at your fathers and care deeply about them. And I'm going to emphasize that because the other one usually is. Young people, we need to turn our heart toward our fathers. Now think with me just a little bit. I have a few fathers. My father, that's you all know, or most of you do, that's laying in the hospital bed right now. And he just had open heart surgery. And he's healing. And things seem to be progressing, they're saying, normally. Doesn't mean without difficulty and pain, but normally. I need to turn my heart toward him. That's one of my fathers. But you know, I have other fathers in my life that have been a major influence and directing my convictions. Right? there have been in my life, and usually in most of you, there are other people besides our earthly father. And do you know what they are? They're our fathers. They've guided me, whether they've known it or not. Some of them hardly know it. Some of them wouldn't know it, but I told some of them. Some of them know it because I keep making phone calls to them and thank you for your influence upon me, Father. I guess I haven't called them that, but there's some old men that I just love to relate to. We need to turn our hearts toward our fathers, young people and brothers and sisters. We need to do that. These two principles, influence and fellowship. The first principle, influence. Turn with me to Proverbs. You know this. But just this principle. We'll look at these two principles one at a time. First, influence, and then fellowship. We know Proverbs 13, verse 20. God says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed." He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, and I don't think it's wrong for me to say, he that walketh with foolish men shall be foolish. He that is a companion with the foolish will be destroyed, and he that is a companion with the wise will not be destroyed, but will be, I didn't necessarily have a word, but will be preserved and taken on. And so there's a principle here. Like begats like. Right? And it really isn't that difficult. When I rub shoulders with someone and I spend a lot of time with them, we were on our way down here, we stopped at a gas station or something, and I went in and talked with someone a little bit. And I was just listening. That's what it was. And there was this dear, strong, southern brother, or however they say it. And he was talking with someone else, and, "Ah, y'all." And he had his y'alls, and, "I just ain't figured that out yet." And he just had this southern drawl, and when he talked, it just got really, really southern. And I came back out, and I had to think about it a little bit, lest I do some of that. And I don't do it well, but it influences me. And as if I would live in the deep south where they talk like that, I'm afraid it would affect my talk. Like begats like. We influence each other. The best way to learn a language is to be totally saturated in it. In fact, some people are saying these days, when you're learning a language, don't speak for the first, 100 hours of language immersion? Don't say anything. That's extreme, but the point is, don't put forth effort to speak. So that your ears and brain get trained to hear the way they speak. And then when you start talking, "Ooh, sounds terrible. Let's see, how do you do this?" But your ear and your mind has been trained. And you've heard, and then you start talking, and then your ear hears it, and, "Ugh, some foreign-sounding thing." Yeah, that's what it is. But when you're saturated and immersed among the people and their language, that way you can get their accent and their language properly. It's really that simple. He that walketh with wise men will be wise. Well, to me, that's exciting. God gave me a way to be wise. Who wants to be wise this morning? All right. Now, who would like to be foolish? Please raise your hand. Okay. We all didn't raise our hands, but our lives show whether that's true or not. You ever relate to someone who's a little foolish? Or he's where you know he really shouldn't be? And you relate to him, you're asking to become like him. It's that simple. But to me, that's exciting. You know what? I like Brother Joseph. I'm picking on him. He can handle it. I like him. If I really like him, I'll want to connect with him. I'll make phone calls. Now this is coming back on me because I don't call him very often. I do like you, brother. But I'll make effort toward him. I'll relate to him. We'll be over at their house. They'll be at our house. And what will happen is there will be an interchange back and forth. And to a certain extent, I will take on a flavor of him. And he will take on a flavor of me. That's what happens. But I like that. That means I get to sit down, and that's some of the concept of this principle, and I want to say whose everyday living and biblical convictions that come out in their everyday living do I think I should be like? Then I get to watch them, talk with them. When I have an opportunity, sit beside them and ask questions. When I can, live with them. When I can, relate to them. And you know what? I'll gain a little bit of their likeness. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. A companion of fools will be destroyed. So we can look at the negative and say, oh, I'm relating a lot with this kind of folks. That's going to be the way I'm going to be like. If it's the cool guys we're hanging out with, or the slouchy ones, or the whatever. And so then we can just feel all negative, or we can get excited. I have a path forward. I can look at the wise, and I can look at their lives, and I can follow them and learn from them, and they'll rub off on me. Go to Proverbs 18:24. He that walketh with my wise men will be wise. 18:24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. If you want to have friends and you want to be friends with the wise, show yourself friendly. And remember, and we usually take this as prophetic, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and I think we can. But we can also just use it, true friends, true connections, we need to reach out. Put forth effort toward those who we want to be friends with. And as we relate to them, influence will happen. Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. As we relate together, there is influence that passes back and forth. Jump to 1 Corinthians 15. Again, just this principle of influence. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Be not deceived. Same thing. I wonder if this is a quote. And I wonder if Paul realizes he's maybe quoting from Proverbs. I'm not sure. But he says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. When there is communications or a relationship or association is what it seems that word has if you look into it. Evil associations, they will corrupt me. And so if I make associations with someone that is evil, it will erode away on me. There is a principle of influence that shows us we're not quite as spiritual as we think we are, because we may think, oh, I can relate to all these people, but I don't want the end outcome that they have. Isn't that what they call the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing, hoping for different results. Is that the way you say that? Something like that? I want to follow these people and I want to be close to them, but I want different results than they get. So as we're building biblical convictions, this is a huge thing, I believe, in our life. I want us to picture it like this. Here's me. And I guess they say humans are only capable, most humans are capable of only about 30 really meaningful relationships. Is that the right number? There's a number out there. I don't remember if that's the right number. Humans can have thousands of relationships, but they're not going to be deep with all of them. Some of it's simply time constraints, some of it's mind constraints, and some of it is ability and relational and emotional constraints, but we're only capable of so many deep relationships. But I'd like us to think of this, that as we have a relationship with someone, what we're doing is we're throwing someone a rope and saying, here, pull. That's what we're doing. I have ropes tied around me, and I'm throwing, whenever I have a relationship with Brother Andy, I'm throwing him a rope, and I'm letting him hang on to it, and I'm saying, pull. And as I relate to him, his desires, his influences begin to pull me. That's what happens. And so then I say, I have tried to give my father a decent-sized rope, just my own personal father, and I've thrown it to him, and I've said, here, pull. What do you think about my life? What do you think? It's common when they come and stay at our place. One of the evenings before they leave, we'll sit and say, what do you have to say? Speak into our lives. You've related to us a few days here. When they come, they actually stay at our house because we're 6 hours away. And so they've seen the way we relate. They see our life. And we just like to open ourselves up. What do you have to say? Speak. We're handing them a rope, my parents. And we're saying, here, pull. Influence me. Affect my convictions. We come to a place like this, and I sit, and I talk with you all, and I say, here, that's what I'm doing. I'm saying, here, take this rope and pull, and I hear your thoughts. And I sit, and I talk, and I hear Brother Levi's heart, and I hear Brother Stephen's heart, Brother John's heart, and we talk, and we communicate. I'm throwing them a rope, and I'm saying, here, influence me. The unique thing is, today, though they say our abilities haven't changed and there's only so many meaningful relationships, we've also started throwing out mini ropes. Tiny ones. You know, they're not very thick. They're not as thick as some of these that we want. But we've thrown out tiny ropes with media. Right? And we send a text message, and what we're doing is we're sending him a string. And he responds. We're sending her a string. And she responds. And so, this is happening in various ways today also. And we're saying, here, take this string. Pull. Influence me. Pull me in the direction of the way you live your life and the convictions you have on your life. Again, it can be an exciting thing, or it can be a very dangerous thing. It can be an exciting thing if I'm purposeful. Here, brother, pull on this for me, Brother Dan. Pull. What do you think about this? And many times we don't actually ask those questions, but that's what relationships are. They give us a peek into someone's perspective on life. And so we send out these strings. Strings, ropes, go out all over the place. And I don't mean to take away that we are sending a string or a rope to God. God is influencing us. His word is influencing us. We spent time on these things, right? Earlier in the week. Those are ropes also. But we're just looking at this concept of influence and fellowship a little bit today. Here, brother, pull. Make me think the way you think. And that's what relationships are. I think it behooves us to sure be excited and thankful, but to realize we need to be careful where we throw our ropes. Where are we sending them? So as fathers, we can be careful and try to help guide the ropes of our children. As brothers and sisters, we're supposed to help guide the ropes of our children. Let's be careful where we send ropes, because the tendency is to think, my rope with God is really strong, and I'm just sending out threads to people around me. I think that's a bit my tendency. I can easily think, God, I'll hang on to this cable. You know, and here I've got this massive cable, and it's tied around me and up to God, and I'm just throwing you all threads. That gives the mindset that I can handle this. It's okay who I relate to. It's not. What I want us to see is I don't think that's a proper picture. Sure, let's send out a rope to God. But God is working through individuals, and we're influenced by life, and it's ropes that we're sending out to people also, not just pieces of thread. Do you see influence? He that walketh with wise men might be wise, and he that is a companion of fools, he may not be a fool as long as his rope is big enough to God. Is that what the verse says? It's not. A companion of fools will be destroyed. Oh, maybe I'm not as spiritual as I think I am. Now this isn't, I can't present a balanced picture, because we also want to throw out ropes. And we will have connections with family members who aren't pulling the way we want to go. We're going to have connections with people in business, the lost, who aren't where we want to go. Well, then let's seclude up like a monk, climb the top of the hill, and close the door. No, that's not balanced. That's not what God's looking for. So we know we're going to have ropes and strings that reach out and connect with people who are foolish. But don't take the concept, my rope to God is strong. It's big. And I can have lots of threads out there in the dangerous areas and be okay. It doesn't work. Do we throw out strings to others and try to pull them? Absolutely. But if I'm standing on a boat, and there's a whole bunch of people out in the water, and there's 20 people I throw ropes to out in the water, and I'm trying to pull 20 people in all by myself, what's going to happen? Splash. I'll end up with them. Isn't that true? Haven't we seen people do that? Try to reach out to the lost. They think their rope to God is really big and strong. And after a while, we realize, we're trying to help that fella because he's half in the water already. We're trying to pull him out. I think he thought he was more spiritual than he really was. Does that mean, oh, quick, cut off all those ropes? We don't want any ropes out to the lost. And that's not the heart of God. And we'll hopefully touch on that a little more, except, yeah, we'll see how this works out. No, but as we throw out ropes out into the water, let's make sure we have other fishermen with us and we're tied solidly to them. And those ropes are solid. And we come back to them and we say, brother, is this rope between me and you, me and the church, me and this whatever, is it solid or is it fraying? And there's 20 out here where I'm fishing and those ropes keep getting bigger. Young people, especially, ask your fathers. Turn your heart toward your fathers, your elders, your earthly father, your spiritual fathers that are influencing you and that are being a blessing in you. Ask them, how are my ropes? What's my rope percentage connection? How's it going? Which way am I being pulled? Fellowship. That's influence. Principle of fellowship. It's a little bit the same thing, but I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. I want to ask you a question. Is it biblical to follow men? A little bit of a trick question, so think about it. I'm not asking you to say the wrong thing and then I make you feel bad. Is it biblical to follow men? In an independent agent society, I think we've bred a thing that has a strength but also has a weakness. And the thing is, let's follow Jesus. I'm following Jesus. We've seen people who just do what the Pope says. And for centuries, they do what the Pope says and they end up in darkness. And so we don't want that. Let's follow Jesus. Let's follow the Bible. Let's get back to what God says. And those are good words, but I feel like there's almost a little bit of a lurking danger in that. Because what we're saying is, let's follow the Bible the way I interpret it. That's what we're actually saying. Let's follow, and that's according to me. God says in Hebrews 6, verse 12, and I realize just like the last one with influence and throwing ropes to the lost and we're keeping ropes to our fathers, There's a balance there. There's also a balance here. That ye be not slothful, verse 12. I'm just jumping into the middle just to get a principle. But followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Oh, God says, follow men. You look at this man and you say, he's inheriting promises. There's godliness coming upon his life. There's fruit flowing out of his life. He's living practical everyday Christianity that is like Jesus. And there's convictions there, just in light of our principles here. There's convictions and there's solidity. Follow him. Note the fruits of his life and then pattern your life the way he lives life. What he does in his days, you think about it. Are you doing the same thing? The kind of people he connects with, are you connecting with the same kind of people? The kind of places he goes, are you going to the same places? The kind of books he reads, are you reading the same books? The kind of, and on and on and on. Look at his ropes and say, are my ropes tied the same places as his ropes? And you will become like him. Follow him. Oh yes, we're following Jesus, and I don't want this, and I think you know that I think this, but I should say it. It's not following men. It's following men. Do you get it? I know we're not following men. We're following Jesus. We're following God. We're living for him. But the way it should be lived out is very easily seeable and tangible for us when another man does it. But so often, we like the results in his life, but we don't like the path he used to get there. Influence. Ropes. Wise. Is that possible? Can we say, I like the fruits in his life, but I don't like the path he took to get there? I remember struggling with that even years ago. There was, how do I say this? It's always hard to know how to use illustrations and use them about yourself and all that. So have mercy on me here. but I felt like sometimes people wanted, a young person might come, and I'm thinking years ago when this came to me, and he wanted to be a friend, and he liked having a relationship with me and connecting, but he didn't necessarily like the choices I was making. He wanted the fruit without the same pathway. It doesn't usually work that way. Followship means fellowship. It means following. We can't choose the result and say, yeah, that's the result I want, and then expect to take a different path. Anyway, back to the fellowship principle. Follow them. Don't be slothful. Don't be lazy, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Follow those people. Hebrews 13:7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Do you see the way their faith is? You have faith like that. Do you see the way they're living out their faith? Do it like that. Consider the end of their conversation. Watch the way their life is lived out and copy it. Follow men. I went and did a bit of a study on this, and some of you should do this, and find all the verses you can that talk like this. Follow men. Do what they say. I beseech you, be ye followers of me, Paul said more than one time. Be ye followers of me. Paul wanted them to remember my ways, he would say. Remember the way I was among you and do that. Philippians says, as ye have seen in me, do. Oh yes, it's unto Jesus, but brothers, Paul was able to say, as you see the way I'm walking out my life, you walk out your life that way. That's followership. That in me, first, Christ might be a pattern to show forth, and he talks about being a pattern. I want to be a pattern. Same thing. Ye became followers of us, he says in Thessalonians, that ye might be in samples. So you followed us so that you would be an example, so someone could follow you. This principle is clear. Influence and fellowship. Do you see this principle? It is a huge, huge influence on what our convictions become. Massive. I want us to ponder this just a little bit. In today's day and age, the information age, when knowledge is abounding and people are running to and fro. I forgot about that verse, and one of you brothers mentioned it this week. That's right. That's today. Knowledge is abounding. What's the dear man here last night? Doesn't look like he's here, and made the comment, yep, Siri has the answers for me. There's a lot of answers in Siri. Right? Knowledge is just abounding. So, the way it used to be, if you wanted to know something, you had to go to someone who knew it. Today, Siri, what how does an engine work? Siri, how does, you know, and information is abounding. I have never put in an in-floor heating system in a house. Messed with this and that, but I've never put in a whole system in a house with different zones and different loops and, you know, all those things and the pumps and... Excuse me, I'm wanting to do that in my house, to put in a heating system for it. And so upstairs, you need 180-degree water running to radiators. In the floor, I need just 110 or whatever you want, 100 degrees water running through the floor. And so you're changing water temperatures, and this one needs to be on a different zone, and you turn the thermostat on, and this room gets warm. And that, to some of you, that's maybe old hat, but for me, I'm grappling with that. Usually, just a few years ago, if I didn't know what to do, I had to go find someone who did. And I would go and say, Brother Andy, you know how to do in-floor heating systems. I don't. Can you come do it for me or help me or whatever? And so we learned from a man. Now, knowledge is abounding and we learn from Siri or Google. And so this whole concept of an independent me figuring it out is being bred by some of that. I can figure out how to do my own heating system. I'm no dummy. Right? Instead of, if I wanted to be a carpenter, I would come and say, would you allow me to apprentice you at getting absolutely nothing for a wage? I'll do whatever you say for 5 years. Get no wage out of it. Get no five, two, whatever the thing was. That's how you apprenticed. You would go to someone else and you would begin to copy them. But today's day and age, we're getting used to the concept, I can figure it out myself. And I believe we're forgetting that influence and followership are still spiritual principles. Because Siri and Google and me will get it done. God, the Bible, and me will get it done. You know what I'm saying? Just kind of a mentality and a mindset. And we're forgetting that humans were made to apprentice. That's actually the way we were made to do it. And I'm not saying that you should never get information off of Google. I learn things from other people and the internet and the information. And I go and I learn things and print off a Lego building set for my children because they want to build a little Lego thing out of their trucks. Or they want to, and I'm trying to figure out how. Okay, so I can have, usually only do about 300 feet of hose, in a loop, in a heating system. You know, all these figures, I'm learning some of those things. I'm not saying that's all bad. But the concept that's happening in us is me and Google will get it done. And thus, I think it easily translates, me, my Bible, and God will get it done. And God says, what about my principles of fellowship? What about the undeniable principle, even if you don't think about fellowship and you don't think about influence, it's happening. Just a few snapshots of this concept of apprenticing. I think I have 9 of them, and we'll just go over them real quickly here. Abraham in Genesis 18:19, Abraham will instruct his sons after me. Abraham, God said, I know him. He will take his son and he will apprentice him. He will teach him. He will be an instructor and there will be fellowship. This Abraham's sons will follow him. I know Abraham that he will instruct his children after me. And he knew this, God, obviously, God knows this principle works. And he knew Abraham and he saw his life. He will apprentice him. Do you think Isaac demanded to understand everything? How was that? They're walking up the hill. They're going up to what we now know is sacrificing a ram. But Isaac didn't know that. And I don't know how much Abraham knew. He knew some by faith. And Isaac says, Father, what will we do? What are we going to do for a sacrifice? And Abraham, by faith, we know, says, Son, God will provide the sacrifice. Oh, but Dad, I mean, and he could have pushed this thing. We all also talk about the thing of, here's Isaac, and he's a young man, and why didn't he flee and wrestle his way out? And it seems like he understood this concept also. I'll do what Dad says. Abraham, my father, is instructing me. And I'll put my hands behind my back or whatever, and they'll be tied. And here I'm stuck on this altar. Dad, what are you doing? This doesn't make sense to me. Dad, don't you think maybe I could hear from God about this situation a little bit too? Right? I'm getting slaughtered here. Wait a minute. We don't know if there was a tussle or not, but I don't think there was lots. This is a young, strong young man and an older father. Yes, Dad. Can I refer back to that? Yes, earthly Dad. Not just yes, God. Sometimes we can swallow that one and preaching that one more than yes, earthly Father. Abraham will teach his son and he will follow me. God knew there would be a fellowship. Exodus, honor thy father and thy mother. There's a promise with that. Brother Levi, you mentioned that. Remember in Deuteronomy how it says this young man is to be stoned if he didn't obey. Did it say the law of God? And you could turn there, Deuteronomy 21, 18 through 21, but don't, just because of time here. If he doesn't obey the law of God, he's to be stoned. Is that what it says? Do any of you know? It's not. If he doesn't obey the law of his father or mother, he's to be stoned. God knew the principle of fellowship was core to human beings. If this young person doesn't know how to bow his heart to his fathers, and again, that's your earthly father many times, sometimes that's elders, sometimes that's whatever that is, but if we as young people don't turn our heart to our fathers, it's not good, and it won't go well. Do! It's beautiful. There'll be pulling the right way. There'll be influence, and we're to follow. There's this principle of fellowship, and God says, if they don't obey the law of their father and mother, take them outside the city, pick up stones, and begin throwing stones at them until they die. Can you imagine? We just read this. They had a war, and 20,000 were killed, and we go on. A stone smashing into your son's skull. And yeah, you could get all sorts of, make graphic words. That was real. Because they wouldn't follow. They wouldn't believe in fellowship. Point number three in fellowship, regard for old men. And again, Leviticus, Lamentations, Zechariah, I have a few places there where it talks about regard these old men. Thank you for some white hairs sitting here. I have a few dear friends of old men. I like that. We must regard and listen and follow. In fact, at my place, just a couple months ago, or whenever it was, maybe only a month ago, there was a young man and an older man there, and there was some dialogue and discussion, and this young man has asked for some input from me, and after this older man left, I talked with him, and I said, you know what? It bothered me a little bit how you related to this older man. He was 3-4 times your age. But you had a lot to say and a lot of answers. And that bothers me. Dear, earnest young man. A heart for God and doing a lot of the right things. But I just, again, it's a nice relationship. I'm thankful. And I just shared, that bothers me that you have a lot of answers and a lot to say and not a lot of questions. And he's 3 or 4 times your age. There's a principle here of fellowship. We need to learn. Makes me a little self-conscious to stand up in front of some of you white-haired people here. So when I'm done, you straighten it out, all right? Number four, influence of fellowship. Rehoboam forsook the council. We know that principle. Rehoboam forsook the council of the old men, and he followed the young men. What was happening in Rehoboam's life? Right here, right? He had too many ropes the wrong place. He had some with the old men, didn't he? He called them in and said, what do you think? But those ropes were just threads. And the ones to his young men friends were ropes. And he went the wrong way. The fifth one. Remember Elisha and Elijah. 2 Kings. Where is the God of Elijah? Elisha said. Well, isn't that a little unique? He didn't say, where is my God? He said, I am following Elijah. I'm the ones that poured water on the hands of Elijah, right? That was Elisha. That was his term, the term for him. He's the one who poured water on the hands of Elisha. Elisha was the one who poured water on the hands of Elijah. Isn't that right? Isn't that the illustration there? He was there with him. He was learning from him. Elijah's gone, and he comes to the edge of the river. Where is the God of Elijah? He knew this principle of followship, and he was following the God of the one he was following. We have point number six here, and I'm going too quickly here, but just the concept of the sons of the prophets. And so these sons of the prophets were listening to Elisha, and they told him, the place is too straight for us. It's too small. Let's go out and build another one. So they go out. They get their axes, and they're going to go cut down trees. They were the sons of the prophet. Did he have all these sons by his wife? I don't think so. These were men who said, I want to learn from you. I want to be like you. I want you to teach me. They had a fellowship mindset. Proverbs is full of it. I'll just do this for you. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42 references in Proverbs about the principle of fellowship. And I just have them in the margin of my Bible here. So we could go there, referencing out of Proverbs 1, chapter 8, and go to 40, what did I say, 6 different references. My son, hear the instruction of God and forsake not the law of the Bible. Is that what it says? What's it say? Hear not the instruction of your father. Forsake not the laws of your mother. Oh, I'm supposed to follow men? Yeah. We're supposed to follow men. Can I say that rightly and balanced? We're following Jesus. He's our goal. He's the one we're following. But the examples we see, we're supposed to use everyday examples and throw ropes to them and say, pull, I want to follow you. Jesus and his disciples, the apostles, took lots of people with them. I'm just kind of amazed. Paul goes somewhere and you actually try to figure out who all went with him. He had a crowd with him. Barnabas, Peter, Saul, all of them, they took men with them. Okay, we'll leave that. A couple of points as we ponder, some application as we ponder this. I just ask the question, who are your heroes? They're the people who you've thrown the biggest ropes. They're the people that will mold and form your convictions the most. It's those people that are heroes that will do that. And that's who we will become like. Four things that we need to watch our influences. 10-20, is that right? Is that what I'm aiming for? Thank you. 10 things, and I guess we won't go to the scriptures for the sake of time. One is, watch the fruit of people's lives. Watch their fruit. What is coming out of their lives, and what is the fruit of their lives? And throw them a rope, if you like it. And make the rope smaller, if you don't. That was Hebrews we looked at, 6, 11, and 12. Watch for the fruit. There's also the principle number 2 of follow authorities. Look for the authorities in your life and follow them. God says to do that. Thank you, Brother Levi. You covered that well. Did an excellent job. Number 3 is listen to your parents. And you did that well also. Number 4, guard your thoughts. Guard them. Be careful with them. Be careful where you let them go and where they wander to. Don't underestimate the choices you're making that begin in thoughts and you make them. Whether it's books or, and I want us just to realize that's what's out here. The books we read, we're throwing them a rope, right? The music we listen to, thank you again, Brother Levi, we're throwing them a rope. The friends we choose, the places we go, the things, and on it goes. We're choosing where and who we become by the influences we have in our lives. I'm just going to ask you, I know I failed two times and only got it done once, that you would take this paper to go to the back and answer these three questions in light of this. But I'm going to ask you to do that a little bit. And I'm going to try to stop here a little bit early and ask you to take these three questions in the back on this message, answer those questions. If you even have time, I would encourage you to draw yourself a graph, just like this, and then start drawing ropes and start putting people's names there. Draw another rope and put someone else's name there. And put and just be honest with yourself and start writing the influences and the people you're following and the information you're following and the time you're spending and the things you're reading and the things you're listening to, and start putting it out there. Especially you young people. I think it's good for us as adults also to do this. But you young people especially, draw something like this and start seeing, putting down all these influences around you. Then when you get it done, you can also rate those as how strong do you think they are? 1 to 10. Then you go and sit down with your fathers. Turn your heart to one of your fathers. And I say that because whether it's your actual biological father, or it's a leader, or it's someone who's a discipler to you, go to one of your fathers or your mothers and say, what do you think about this influence chart? Is it good? Is it accurate? What ropes should be stronger? What ropes should be weaker? Don't you think that's turning your heart to your fathers and giving them your heart and saying, would you help me? Help me become what you want me to become. To build biblical convictions that will result in everyday practical living like Jesus. Do you see that little practical exercise? I kind of almost wish I could force each of you to do that. I think it would be enlightening to us as we realize, oh, that's some of why I think like that. That's some of why I have this tendency. That's some of why I dress like that. That's some of why I listen to that music. That's some of why I... What are these ropes and what is influencing and pulling me around? I think I didn't give you these bullet point questions. You could put different ones in there, but I'll give them to you as I wrote them here. Two bullet points under influence. The first one, how will it influence? And number the second bullet point is, who is influencing? Maybe I should have flipped those around. How will it influence and who is influencing? Remember, what we have are thoughts, ideas, questions, circumstances, happening as in life. And we're going to end up with choices, decisions, and actions that will result in what our life is like and our convictions. One of the ways to filter that so that we get the end result we want is to say, how will it influence and who is influencing? And then under fellowship, the same thing. Who am I following and what are the results of their lives? Those are the two bullet points. Who am I following and what are the results of their lives? Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for making some principles just kind of clear. Thank you for helping us to know how to follow you by influence and fellowship. And I know, Lord, this is only one aspect, and we've looked at others throughout the week, but I think it's a very, very important one. Would you help us? Bless each of us here, the young people, all of us adults, and our dear older brothers and sisters we have here. Help us, Father, to be honest with the ropes of influence in our life, where they're at, and how to grow them or shrink them or cut them or add them, whatever needs to happen. Thank you for this simple principle of influence and fellowship. Bless your people here, Lord. Give them wisdom, grace. Amen. Okay, I'm going to give you just a few minutes. Answer the questions on the back. Can you do that?